All right, welcome to the show, Freedom Chasers. I am super excited to hear to be with my friend, Buddy Buckner. And we're going to be talking about a lot of things involving real estate team building, real estate agency, as well as off-market real estate investing. Buddy, I love your story, man. I love it so much. I think that's the best way to kick it off. Could you tell us how you got involved in real estate from the very beginning?
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of backdoored my way into real estate. The short version of how I got into it is my dad got sick. I moved into a different industry that was supporting real estate. A good friend of mine, Ryan Finch, taking care of a lot of his properties, a lot of his flips and stuff for him on the landscaping and repair kind of side. Dad passed away. I was going to go back into sales. Ryan called me in and said, "Hey, I got a crazy idea for you." And so that crazy idea that I've heard him say that multiple times to me, but those are the best ones I think to get involved in. We ended up coming in the back door real estate. I came in the operations side. I ran a client care, literally worked the phones. And, you know, this is back in the day when you would hand dial the numbers and, you know, make mistakes, dialing 125 numbers a day, expired withdrawals for sale by owners, just grinding the way to the business. Eventually evolved into like internet leads when that became a big thing. And so that evolved though. I ran that department for a little bit. Then he decided he was going to move from a regional real estate company to a national with First Class. And so we then quickly had to tack and deal with some of the technology issues. I tackled that. We implemented Salesforce. I implemented KB Core. We API'd in BrokerMint, all the technical side of the stuff. That morphed me into becoming the systems development guy, which then was like, oh, by the way, you should also be the trainer guy too, right? And so you put it all in, let's go train it. So I literally did that for a few years, ended up selling franchises for Ryan at First Class, then broke out on my own, eventually owned my own territory where I had some franchisees join in under my territory. That has given now access to more and more people, which now has evolved into getting into wholesaling and assignable contracts, beginning to do like some first flips and that sort of stuff. So just important though, I did all of this without a license, an agent license. And I did all that without a broker's license too. And I think that's a very unique part of the story as we begin to explore what alternatives we have and we start to disqualify ourselves, right? It's not an excuse anymore.
Not an excuse at all. I actually reference you all the time when I'm talking to people because everybody loves to make excuses like, I don't have results. How am I going to get people to listen to me? And I'm like, well, Buddy doesn't have a broker's license, an agent license, and he made it happen not only for yourself, but for other people.
That's right. That's right. And I, you know, part of that is I'm not superhuman at all. Like I'm going to go ahead and rule that out. But what I do is I've got two or three really good friends who I share some ideas with. And they say, yes, that's a great idea. Or what are you thinking? You know, absolutely run from that idea. You know, so I think it's important to have a peer group and some mentors in there as well that can help you out and say, man, your personality is built for this or maybe it's not.
Absolutely. My favorite people to be around are the people that tell me I'm full of shit, Buddy, because most people, for some reason, I will tell them some crazy idea and they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. The people that are like, no, Tim, that's a moronic idea. Why the hell would you ever think about doing that? Are the most valuable people to have around, without question. I have to ask you a question, man, just because knowing you a little bit, like you building systems, for me, it just, I don't know you well enough, I think, because typically people tend to be on the visionary scale or the integrator scale. They can't manage both things. And like for me, I'm capable of building systems, but it'll make my brain go crazy. Like it frustrates the hell out of me. Is systems development something that you enjoy?
You know, I'm a completionist. And so it's a good and it's a bad trait, right? I'm not OCD in that side where I do face the labels all the right way in my fridge and my cat. It drives my wife insane, but that's just a little quirk. But what I mean is like I need to go, like if it has a set of something, like it's a 1 to 100, I need to fill in 1 to 100, right? I don't have the capacity to stop on something like that. That transitions well into business. And so when you have a system, and I tell people this all the time, I give away my systems. If 100 people come to me and ask me, I will go to lunch with them and tell them exactly how I do something. And because I know 99 of them will never go do it, right? But they're always grateful that I spent the time with them. And it's not what you really do for people. It's how you make them feel. and that transitions into relational selling, right? Those are also the same people that come back to me for something or say, hey, I want to get into investing or whatever it is, you know? And so yes, systems I think are incredibly important. If you shared with me a system, let's just say, I know that you do some with agent attraction and you said, hey buddy, here's my system, step 1 to 30. I'm going to go do that exactly the way you do it, step 1 to 30, because I'm not going to get it and try to modify it and say, well, I can make it better. I've got to go make it work. And once it's working, then I can finagle it a little bit and make it customizable. And I think that's where a lot of us go wrong. We'll take somebody's system that's working and we say, oh, that's step 7 is garbage. And it just kind of falls apart. So get in the system and run it. You know, that's the way I view it. But yeah, systems, huge systems purpose.
It's funny you say that. I'm the type of person that loves to change the plan. And I'm finally starting to realize, because as I try to show other people how to do things, I'm like, I can respect that you want to change the plan, but just get it to work a couple times first. Yes. And then you can start to innovate on it. So now when other people try to tell me plans, I could respect what you just said. It's like, okay, let's do 1 through 30. Let's go through the boring, and then I can make it my own. It's important. It takes a whole lot of time to get there. And I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs are lacking, like you said.
That's right. And I'll do that. I'm not being judgmental. I've done it where somebody gives me a plan and I change it. And then I'm like, I get crap results. And I'm like, go back to the stupid plan. Like, it's working for somebody, you know? So, but I do change a lot of them over time. Like if you continually do the same things over and over the same way, somebody right now somewhere is sitting down with a pen and a pad trying to put you out of business. So if you don't go and evolve and get better at it, you will lag behind the market, right?
Absolutely. I would love to get a little bit of context of like your recruiting appointments when you were first starting the agents. Like, how were you able to sell them on your vision when they were asking you, like, what have you done, buddy?
Yeah. So another good question that we didn't talk about, we'll freestyle it. And that's, so I started a brokerage in October of 2020, right? Like, as the pandemic's still in, people are still shy. You know, we're kind of dealing with that as a nation, as a country, as a world, really. And everybody is like, you moron, why would you start a brokerage in the middle of the pandemic? And I just realized that there was a shift occurring in everybody's minds. And they were thinking, well, I don't need an office anymore. So I opened up virtual in Virginia Beach, First Class Real Estate Mid-Atlantic. And by November of 2021, had recruited 20 agents to come in. We were doing 12, 13 transactions. It was a net profit monthly of about 9 to 10 grand in net profit in just 1 year, right? And so In interviewing, and I probably did several hundred interviews, you know, to get to the 20, because you got to get culture fits. You got to get the right people. It's not anybody can fog a mirror and we sign them up, you know. I would say that what I noticed overall from agents, and this was, and I've done this around the country with different brokerages and helped them out too, is that they really want to know three things. You know, and it's not the Josh Smith, do I know you? Do I like you? Do I trust you? It's not those three things. Those are good, but it's a little bit different for the agent. They really want to know, A, what am I going to get paid? Right. And then I'm going to talk about that, but they also want to know, will you provide me leads? I get that question every single interview. And then will you train me? Those are the three things that I hear most from agents. And so I address those ahead of the curve, right? On the pay scale, my mom started with Century 21. It must have been 88, right? Passes her real estate license. It was when they were going digital. So her agent number was 287 or something crazy like that, right? Like, she was on the first run of going logins and everything. That was probably mid-90s when our MLS changed from the phone book listings that were printed to over to digital. And so her best commission that she could hope to earn as a brand new agent was 50-50. And they gave her a desk and a stack of business cards and a phone, right? And you just go to the office and it's old school, pound, 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 the Al Bundy shoe sales, just over and over. Well, in order to wear that gold jacket, and if you've been in real estate, you know what I'm talking about, like the old Century 21 gold jacket, you know, maybe they would boost your pay and give you like a 70-30. And that was just kind of like the tops. But then what happens in the 90s is you have Gary Keller come along and he says, you know what? The real estate industry it needs to be the way it's revolutionized, the way agents get paid. And it was the first time that an agent now could come in making a 70-30 and introduce a split, right? So what Gary did was great for the industry. But what happens, right, we talked about the evolution and the industry changing, is that 10 years later, And this was, you know, late 2000s or early 2010s area when EXP came around, and they said, you know what? We think the standard should be 80-20. It's just a revision, a smaller cap, but we're going to add some stocks and some other things. I'm like, great. That is very powerful. It's pro-agent, right? Because the commissions are going up. And lower cap means that I could save 10 grand a year back to my pocket. Agents, it was slow to adopt, right? If you look, EXP didn't really blow up until 2020. They struggled for 10 years to get people in or whatever the start was. But now what you're seeing is you're seeing commission structures where you can say to an agent, I can pay you 100% of your commission with just a transaction fee. The trick is that doesn't apply, and it should not apply to all agents. Not all agents are created equal. If I'm doing 15, 20 transactions a year, then yes. The reason why is I'm not dependent on you for training. I just need you to remove obstacles from my way as an agent, right? So now you look at a brand new agent and you say, that's going to be the three questions I get. Commissions. And I talk to them and I say, look, you're going to come in with me on whatever scale, because it's whatever you need from me. You tell me what you need and I'll set you up for success. A lot of them come in at 70-30, but then I tell them, because now the next two questions are leads and training. I'm like, we've got enough training. I got an online training. I got an in-person training. We can go to Starbucks and train. I go to the house and train. Where do you want to go to train? That's not an issue. We can always do that. But now leads. And this is the proactive part of interviewing that you have to address early. Because Tim, wouldn't it be better for you to make 80% of your sale versus 50%? Would you prefer 50% of your pay or 80?
That's a good question, because there's only one answer, right? Everybody wants 80.
Everybody would say, great. But then our training, Tim, needs to be geared around how do you find those leads, because those are self-generated leads to you. I'm still going to tell you contracting, how to open the e-key. I'm going to walk you through all that. But if you'd like to make more 80, now I can provide leads to you. Those will be 50-50, but those are just supplemental. You don't want to live in the 50% commission range. You really want to stay in that personal range of the 80-20. When I have an agent say yes to that and they understand that, now leads is just taken off the table, because they know that I'm going to have to go self-generate. And so that's how I got it. We ended up with 20 agents, and it was just, I mean, I loved it. And I actually sold that brokerage at the end of 2022 for a little profit too. Imagine that, right? So. Mm-hmm.
There you go. I like the frame there too, because you're not only framing that they should be doing their own job, but they see the benefit in it. So that's very cool. I would love to think about I'd love to ask you, like, how much easier was it to sell the franchises themselves over selling to the agents?
Yeah. Two different sales models, right? And so what I found is, we're naturally inquisitive, the better, the entrepreneurial spirited people that would open their own business. They tend to go around in droves, right? Like, they're going to mastermind sessions. They're signing up for coaching. They're meeting in Charlotte for a mastermind for a 3-day thing. Like, right? And so a lot of those folks are naturally questioning, and they say, for years, what we've been told is we've never had that unlocking that you can own your own business. We've always been told, hey, Tim, man, you're killing it. You're doing 12 to 15 transactions. You should really start thinking about a team or an admin, right? And that's how brokers had guided before. Because there's a fear in the broker that says, if I tell Tim too much, he's going to go duplicate and open up his own brokerage, right? Like, maybe that's not something that they actually verbalize, but subconsciously it does play. And so as they coach to building the team. And then it's like, okay, you got an admin, get a selling agent now, get a buying agent on your team, get multiple buying agents, buy Zillow leads. There's nothing wrong with that. You can make a ton of money. And I want to be clear, there's nothing wrong with running a mega team and being incredibly successful. But what I feel like is that's the same as allowing my friend to rent a house instead of buy a house. Right? So in the renting the house, running a team means that you're never going to be able to sell that for equity, because you're the production in that team. If you're a brokerage, then now you're building equity and you have that net income every month that is now building a business valuation. And that's a big mind shift, because there's a lot of responsibilities in that play, right? Because now I could always rely on the broker to do the accounting before. I could, you know, if they can do this, they. So you are going to take on more responsibility, but it's more responsibility, more reward. And there's some people that are entrepreneurial minded that love that.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, cool. Well, let's transition to what you're working on now, buddy. So first off, we know you're doing a lot of off-market investing. Like, what got you interested in the wholesale model in the first place?
Yeah. Any social setting that I've been in, if somebody brings up the topic of real estate, you always have people start to gravitate around that conversation. They want to know what's going on in the market and how are things doing. It's in the news a lot. It's you know, it's just a market where it seems like I would say the majority of people show some interest in it, whether either working in the profession, whether investing into homes, right? Like, so real estate is just one of those magnetic topics that catches the ear of folks. And matter of fact, if you look at all the millionaires that are self-created, the majority of those do that in the real estate space. They don't do it opening a restaurant or whatever. And so that's an overwhelming, like, why, right? If I see that, I need to dig into that and understand why. And it's because really real estate, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I have to say it, I apologize. Real estate is a setup for generational wealth in families. Real estate is a setup for generational wealth. Because even if you just buy one or two houses and sit on them and rent them, you know, like what happens over a 20 or 30 year span is this house gets paid off and now becomes a $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000 asset that you can have. Now, we can debate the tax sheltering and go deep into all that all we want to, but the fact is that real estate really does build wealth. And because of that being a magnetic topic, investing comes up really number one. And it has always been on my mind for years. I just never understood how to take that first step. Same thing in the beginning of the conversation. How do we disqualify ourselves, right? It's not hard to disqualify yourself out at all, man. And so I think naturally the initial hurdles are, how do I find a house? How do I find a house? Like, because there's a lot of vehicles. I can go to an agent and an agent go look for me. Typically, they're not going to find the ones that I can do the flips in. They can find me investment properties for rental portfolios and stuff really, really easy. And so that's one avenue. The other avenue is I need to just contact who the owner is and give them a call. Well, that's what a wholesaler would do, right? They're going to find a house that's off market that they can then take to someone and sell it. But if I'm going to make a lot of money in investing, I need to be able to find the house so that I save that middleman, right? That upcharge from the middleman or the wholesaler. Nothing wrong with wholesaling. I've done a ton of it in the past, like, let's say 5 months. I've made a little bit of money on it, but I've had a lot of conversations. And so I think that's the first thing. But the company that I've partnered with and that we've now opened up another company with is called Camus. And the Camus Real Estate Company, or Camus Group, I should say, what we've done is come up with a platform that you can not only find your own house, but then you can estimate the repairs, right? You can get in contact with the owner, set the appointment, go in, take pictures, estimate the repairs in the house, all with an app on your phone or iPad, very easy. Then take that and write an offer right there electronically on your device that you can sign on the device or email to sign or have the printed copy and then upload it, right? So a lot of options to make it super, super easy. And then after that, one of the hurdles is how do I get rid of the house once I get under contract, right? If I don't want to flip it, but I want to make money. So in that whole process, there's also a disposition for the houses. And then let's say you did want to flip that house. We also have a funding that's all within there to apply for funding to then get the necessary funds to buy and flip the house all in one place. And so we found that was lacking. That's what was lacking around the country with the groups that we were in. We either found they were very tech heavy and you had to go out and do it yourself, or we found that they were really mentor heavy and they'd lack the tech to support it. And so we think we've found a great combination of both.
Okay, very cool, man. Let me ask you this, my friend. Wholesaling is a dirty word for a lot of realtors. What are your thoughts of that?
That was actually one of my hesitations in getting into it because I think I love to treat people fairly. I would hope that if you went around the people that gravitated close to me and you talked to them, they would all say, man, we love that guy, man. He's just great to be around. He's always looking for the win-wins. And so getting into wholesaling, that was a concern, right? Because you have say, well, I'm trying to lock the deal up for the best price that I can buy it. And the homeowner is trying to lock it up for the best price they can sell it, right? And mm-hmm. so there's this convergence of where it can be a win-win on both sides. And when you tilt it to one side or you tilt it to the other, then I feel like I'm not getting a good deal as the wholesaler because then people can't afford to buy it and flip it or do whatever. But if I buy it too low, then the homeowner feels like I just gave them a dirty offer and stole the house and lowballed them, right? You hear all those terms all the time. What I find out is the opposite. Mm-hmm. The wholesaler that will make the most money will be the wholesaler that can solve the most problems for the homeowner the quickest. Plain and simple. And I got a great example of that. I know we didn't talk about this, but I'll flip this in. Miss Shirley was my first deal that I went to. It's probably like my second or third appointment I went on, but it was my first deal where she signed a contract. And I go and meet her at the house. She takes me to the side window and pops the window and gives me a little plastic chair to get on to get in the window of the house. And I'm like, okay, I got to make a decision because A, I'm not a small fella. And that little plastic chair is looking really flimsy right about now, or I can get on the chair and hop in the window. So I'm like shaking, knees buckling, trying to crawl in the window. I don't even know what's in there. Am I going to step on a snake when I get in the house? Like, it's just crazy. We get in there. I pop the door open. She walks me around. House is a wreck. It was a house that her aunt owned for years and years. This house was like built in the 50s and it was just in bad shape because nobody was living there. She had got the house inherited and couldn't keep up with the payments on the house because the aunt had taken out a loan against the principal, right? So she inherited a house that she had to now make payments on. She was on the verge of a bankruptcy. And so mm-hmm. we took all the back payments on in the offer price, and we were able to clear out about $11,000 in liens on the house. And so during that process, she was incredibly grateful. We took this huge burden off of her back, avoided a bankruptcy. And a matter of fact, when we got ready to close, I needed to go get a document signed by her to wrap the whole thing up. So she said, come over to my new apartment and I'll sign them. I live 20 minutes from her. So I pop over there and she's in a brand new townhouse apartment. And I walk in and she's just smiling. She's got everything set up, pictures on the walls. And she was like, man, what y'all did for me was I really appreciate it. It got all that stuff that was just hanging over me. And so that was one of my first deals, and I'm grateful for it because it did prove to me that wholesaling doesn't have to be a dirty business and it can help people too. I'm excited.
Absolutely. I can't agree with you more, honestly. Like when I first got into it, I think everybody has those reservations. It's like, oh, I'm going to take advantage of these people and steal their house from them. But what I found, much like you, is you're solving a much bigger pain point, and it's more of an emotional issue than a monetary issue, where they have so much baggage on them for some reason or the other, where you're relieving so much stress. I get more referrals from wholesale deals than residential. I have to go to the point of your point, though. Like when you were like, oh, she put a chair by the window. I was like, that's a house you have to see, right? Doesn't the curiosity thing just trigger you? Like, you have to go in there. You have to.
100%. I got to see the inside of it. And I think we're curious about that as people. We love to watch shows about homes. We mm-hmm. love to watch shows about people flipping homes and to have the experience to go do that. You know, and there's been both sides, right? Because there's been houses and neighborhoods where I walk in, I'm like, man, this is a great neighborhood. It's a cul-de-sac. I can see my kid growing up here. You know, like you just envision that because we do that. We romanticize things a bit and we like that. But there's been actually a couple of days ago, I went to a house and I usually walk around the house first and do the pictures front, left, back, right, you know, and I have a process for it. Surprising. Right. But I get to the back of the house, the door is wide open. And it's not in a great neighborhood, right? It's about 3:30, 4 o'clock. So the sun's not really high in the sky. And I'm like, do I knock on the door? Hello, anybody in there? Like I'm waiting for a hobo to pop out. I guess that's like what an 80s word I just used, but you know what I'm saying? Some sort of someone's living in there and homesteading in the house or something. And so I'm like, oh man, do I go in this house? I mean, there's leaves in the back of the house, right? Where the wind had blown in leaves and stuff. And I'm like, oh shoot. Like, I don't have a gun. I'm like walking around. And so I decided to go. I was like, I'm going to go in. I don't hear anybody in the house. But I'm like, is there going to be like an angry raccoon in there? Like, you know, just never know in some of these houses. But I go in. The floor is.
Sometimes there is.
Sometimes there is, right? I don't go into any dark places, and I always stand far away when I open a closet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just know. But the, you know, the floor is a wreck and everything. But yeah, so there's a wide range there. And you know, and I would say that, you know, if you're a smaller person, I'm hard to kidnap. I mean, you know how expensive it is to feed me if someone kidnapped me? They would be like, they'd last 20 minutes or I'd talk them to death, you know? So, but yeah, there's a whole wide range of it.
Oh, it's actually a wild world. So, I mean, I don't know if you know about this, but I say it a lot. I came from REO first, so transitioning to the wholesale was really easy for me. It's just, I'm used to going into shitty, scary houses in the hood. Like, that was my thing. It's funny, like, I used to do auction.com, man. And they say if it's vacant or occupied, but the lowest hanging fruit is the ones that are occupied that are actually vacant. So I'll tell you a quick story once. This is in the south side of Chicago. And it said it was occupied, but I saw a lockbox on the door. There was a sticker on the door. And generally speaking, 99% of the time, that house has been repossessed by the bank. But I guess they just changed the lock, and I used my HUD key set. And I walked in the house. It was 6 o'clock in the morning because I like to do it early. And there's a dude sitting on the couch. It's like, uh-oh. Sorry, man. I thought this house was vacant. but, man, I've seen some shady shit in my days.
Now that like weed is legal too in a lot of states, Virginia is one of them. I'll go into a house that somebody wants to sell, and they'll have a whole grow operation in the bedroom, and I'm like, hey, all right.
Absolutely, man. Well, cool. Let's talk a little bit about the software you're developing or not developing. You know what I mean? The company that you're working with, the Camus Group, like who ideally would this be built for essentially?
We've batted that around a lot, right? Because we feel like if you're an established wholesaler, I don't know that we'd be the fit for you in this model. Now, we do partner with established wholesalers. Like, that's how I got in. I bought a territory with them, you know, back in September of 03. I'm sorry, of 23. I haven't been doing it that long. And so I had basically a 90-day run with them. I paid them an entrance fee to partner with them, and I paid them a monthly marketing fee, and they got it. They coached me. They mentored me. You know, and in that that last quarter of 23, I wrote 10 deals in 90 days, right? So, like, it's not a hard process, and they really handheld me. And I'm a guy that'll ask you, I will ask you every question in business that I could think of, you know. And so they just really answered every email, every text, every call. So it was good, easy swap. But we realized that not everybody's going to want to come in and drop a down payment and make a huge monthly payment to have calls, text, mailers, pay-per-click leads going out, Facebook ads. Like, some people just can't go all the way in that. So what we're really looking for, and I'll explain why with the technology, is we're really looking for an agent, right, that will run into one or two off-market deals a year naturally because they're busy. They're gonna have the question, right? We're also looking for maybe a wholesaler that's maybe doing two or three deals a year. They have a basic knowledge of it, and they just need a little bit of help to get to that next level. I would say that's our prime recruiting area for that. Now, the reason that this is because we have a powerful driving app. And it's map based. And when you come in, a lot of people will know what this app is and use it. I love it. But we've modified it a little bit. So when you go into a neighborhood, you pull the map open, you can click the house. It'll tell you the stats on the house, every house on the map. Now, what you can do then is if you see a stuffed mailbox or no tire tracks in the snow or boarded up windows or AC units in the windows or all the signs that it's going to be a house that's distressed or vacant, right? You're looking for signs of that. You can click on that house. It'll tell you the information on the house, beds, bathrooms, square foot, all that stuff. But there's a button to skip trace the owner right there in the app. And you can call that owner right from sitting in the owner's driveway and talk about the house, regardless if it's an absentee owned or vacant or whatever, probate, pre-foreclosure, doesn't matter. You can get right to the homeowner through the app, make the phone call, set the appointment. Then the app from that, you'll open up an app called FlipStack from there. And the FlipStack is the proprietary software that we're using that we've customized completely for our needs. Once you get access to the house, you're going to take pictures of them and it walks you through. It'll say exterior, exterior front, exterior right, exterior left, back, trim work, foundation. So you're taking pictures of all these things. And then right there, you can click a button and say it needs, you know, trim work done. And you can put a value on the trim work. And it has some pre-populated stuff to make it easy. So you're just building a punch list right there. And this is important for two reasons. A, you need to know what the repairs would generally be to do this flip. And two, you want to have a detailed list to talk about with the homeowner, right? Because if they can agree on what they feel also what the repairs be and you put a price to it, it will help you negotiate the price of the house to a point where you can then wholesale that house and make your profit or take the flip and take all the profit, right? So, and Flipstack will guide you right through that. So it'll say like, you know, do you need windows? And you put in 10 windows and boom, it'll flash up $3,000 in there, you know? So, you know, okay, well, great, 10 windows. It won't account for little things like maybe two of those 10 windows are custom windows. Like you're going to have some discernment in there, but this will give you a rule of thumb on that.
Absolutely. And then every market will be different. Does that adjust by market?
You can actually go in, and if you have a feeling, because construction, the cost of the components are going to change from Little Rock, Arkansas to LA, right? Like it's just, you're going to have some variation. And so we do at that point allow, we'll have that conversation where you just set up your parameters inside of your Flipstack. That way you get a more accurate thing. And then you don't have to do it and then say, oh, let me add 20% because the cost of living here is 20% higher. You know, we'll go in and customize it with you.
Well, the whole reason I ask is you're like, oh, 3,000 for 10 windows. And I'm like, that would be at least five, buddy.
Yeah. Probably a bad example to say it like that. But you know what I mean? You can go in and set the preset and say, hey, we're dealing about 400 a window or 500, completely installed, wrapped, and all that stuff, you know? So,
but it's totally market. Like, obviously, I'm in Chicago. It's pretty urban here. So, I mean, typically speaking, our prices are not great, especially with the power of the unions here. It just makes everything cost more. So that makes sense. So like if you're teaching this to somebody new, how many houses per day would you recommend that they go looking for?
You know, recommendation wise. So there's a two part answer on that. You're not going to get an easy one out of me. You're not going to get a layup out of me on the questions, Tim. But, okay. So the first answer is if you're an active real estate agent, then you're out driving, you're showing houses, you're doing open homes, you're doing all the stuff. There should be no way you can't do at least 10 homes a week through the app, the driving app, right? Because that's an easy one. You're already out in the community, take advantage of it. It's doing the free skip tracing. It doesn't cost you any skip tracing amount, you know? But if you're not an active real estate person, then what I would do is set aside a couple of hours or a few hours a week. And in the app, you can actually just turn it on and start driving. It'll follow your drive. So it'll log and you can start logging houses in. And so the way I did it, because I've done it that way too, I've tested out all of it, right? Just because I'm going to practice what I preach. I'm not going to say, go do this and I haven't tried it. So I've actually done the drive and within an hour, now I live extremely rural. Like when I mean rural, my first store to shop at is a Dollar General. If you take a left or a right, the next closest store in each direction is another Dollar General. That's how rural I am. So just to get a picture of how far I live out in the country, it's 25 minutes to a grocery store. So I was like, great. Well, I'm going to take off on my country roads and start driving. And I drove for 3 hours one afternoon and I got 44 opportunities to do that. Now also remember, I said I did 10 deals in my first quarter as a wholesaler. Those were all rural houses. Population, Suffolk, I live in the southwest part of Suffolk, Virginia, and there's 100,000 opportunities in Suffolk. The next largest opportunity is 30,000. And so think about how many towns you have to accumulate, because those are just the number of homes. I'm not counting how few of those are actual opportunities.
Yeah.
But again, it's systems and it's diligence. And if you can commit to there and have self-accountability and have a good system like we put together, you will be successful.
It's so funny, buddy. Like that old saying, you don't know what you don't know, right? It's like when I tell somebody to go driving for dollars, I'm like, oh, just find, you know, 50 a day, every day. Just do it every single day. Find 50. It tends to take only about 2 hours. And I could do about 25 an hour. Very easy. If I'm on the west side or the south side of Chicago, I could do it in 10 minutes. But I had never considered what it's like in a rural area. I'd never even thought of it. It's like, oh, it's probably hard to find 50 in a rural area because it's hard to find 50 houses.
You're going to wear out some rubber on those tires, but it's worth it, right? Because you said the number 50. In my mind, that's how many I'd have to do on the driving app to get one deal. like yeah. just from thinking back through oh. it, you know? And so you're like, great, if I could add in, you know, just make it a goal to put 50 a weekend, you'd be out of control. Cause 50 calls, it's going to yield just so many contacts and then so many appointments. But I'm a big believer that you have to work your stats backwards, not forwards. Don't work your stats forwards. Go to the closed deal and say, in order to get one closed deals, how many houses did I have to put under contract? Mm-hmm. And maybe that answer is one, maybe it's three. I don't know until you record your stats. In order to get three under contract, how many appointments did I have to go on? Maybe that's seven or eight, right? Maybe it's 10. And so you say, okay, to get one closed, I need 10 appointments. To get 10 appointments, I maybe have to set 20 appointments to get 10 to keep, right? So mm-hmm. if I get 20 appointments, maybe that's 200 phone calls. So, but I guarantee you, if you keep that out to there and you say that's for one, and you say, but I want to close four a month, then you know you have to make 800 phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Then you divide 800 by the number of days you're willing to work in a month, because I called on Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. Best time to get people is local time, 10 a.m. Right? It's just Saturday morning, you're home. Or did it snow today? Are people stuck at home? Like, did they close school? I'm going to call them. Like, I'm going to take advantage of every time I think, is it like Martin Luther King Day? I'm going to call them. Monday when people are off, I'm just that guy, you know? I've never had one person get mad at me for calling to ask them if they would consider selling their home.
You got me beat, buddy. I have.
You know why?
Many a times. I don't know. Chicago's a different market, maybe. I don't know.
It might be, but you know why? It's because when I call them, I usually have my VA call them. And okay. the accents just like my, because I don't have an accent, it's almost disarming. Yeah. And then they're like, well, who are you? I'm like, oh, I you can look me up on Facebook. I actually, if you have your Facebook, you can look me up. And matter of fact, I live in Whaleyville. I'm like 20 minutes from you, you know, but I buy houses all over from Suffolk to Wakefield. I'd love to come out and just chat with you about your property and see it so I can understand what the value would be for your home. You just start talking to people like that. They're like, you know, I still get the ones that, like, you know, I talked to a lady, what's today, Friday, Wednesday afternoon. She's like, you ain't coming to my house. But you could drive by it and look at it if you want to, but you can't come in because they don't know me, right? Mm-hmm. So I drive by the house and I tell them, look, your offer is going to be somewhere between here and here, depending on how well your house is upgraded. I got an appointment with her next week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I put the time in. I drove by her house. I took a picture of it and sent it to her in a text. So I think you got a great property. And I think, you know, there's definitely an opportunity here for us.
Approach is a little bit different, buddy. But that's fine. If it works, it works. That's tremendous, man. Very cool, man. What I love about driving for dollars in particular, because, and also the wholesale model on top of that, you could do it with no credit, no money. Driving for dollars, those are the best leads often, because those are the leads that are not on the list that the professionals are buying, or, you know, some of them are on the list, obviously, but that's where you can find the low hanging fruit, and you might be the only person talking to them. And it's extremely rare to do that if you have a list, because that list is not being just sold to you. You don't have an exclusive list, that's for sure. So it's an easy startup cost. Go drive, find 50 houses a week.
100%. 100%. It's a very good entry-level way to start. You know, and you're right, because everyone's going to the top three or four major places to get information to pull lists from. And you're not going to be any different from the person to your right or your left. That's another reason that I loved partnering with Camus. I didn't have to mess with it. They did it themselves. They just put the data in, the leads fell, and I was paying a referral fee on the back end, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't have any, like, I was paying them to get in as a partner in the monthly to do the marketing, but I didn't have to do all that work in between. I just had to call, set appointments, and go put contracts down. They were doing the lead gen. They were doing the scrubbing, the skip tracing, all the dirty stuff you have to do to get a good list, and they do it multiple times a week for all different territories. So they're good at it. They're the experts. Let them be experts. And then once the contract is done, they pick up on the disposition side. I don't got to deal with the disposition, because there's a lot that happens after the contract that is where I feel the wholesale gets the dirty reputation, because you got to go back and renegotiate on there, because there's some things that happen with the house, or you dig up an old lien. I'm not taking the lien out of my profit. The homeowner is, you know? And so I don't have to deal with that back end negotiation. I can just go and do the appointment and give the offer, walk away, not walk away. There are things you have to do. Again, like I said, the person who solves the most problems makes the most money. And so I stay pretty involved.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I can't iterate enough how awesome the free skip tracing is. Does anybody abuse the hell out of that privilege? Because I just feel like I'm like, I want all these phone numbers. Ha-ha.
I want you to abuse that privilege. Because really, to get a good skip tracing, it falls in between 12 and 15 cents a record, right?
Yeah.
If you're driving out on a day and you spend 10 bucks in skip tracing and you're making phone calls, you're the lowest that I've ever made on a wholesale is about $5,000 or $6,000. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, go spend 20, 30 bucks in skip tracing. Because what'll happen? Look, there's a gym in Central Arkansas. I used to live there years ago. And I don't know what the price is now. It was called 10 Fitness. Do you know why they call it 10 Fitness?
No clue.
Because it costs $10 a month. Do you know why they charge $10 a month for a full gym?
Nobody went there.
Because 90% of the people don't come in the door every month. And we understand it's going to happen in our model too, right? We understand that. Look, I've gotten people that have bought franchises and territories and all this stuff, and they've paid a lot of money for them, and they don't maximize it. You know what I mean? And that's the difference. With the Caymus program, which once you buy into it, you're able to schedule a call with me. The 15-minute call on the website comes to my Calendly link, and you talk to me. Before you go to an appointment, you call me or Gio, and Gio's the guy who mentored me, so you probably him. He's probably better than me, definitely, right? But you get 15 minutes, and we're going to talk to you and say, give me the details on the house. How many bedrooms, bathrooms? What do you think the after renovated value is? How much is left on a loan? What do you think is going to be equity in here based on the information you have? Have you looked at the tax records and seen was this transferred and how it was transferred? Have you done these important steps to understand how to make a solid offer to a homeowner? What number would you need to be at based on the ARV and the repairs to make it make sense to wholesale it or to flip it or put it on the market as a listing? Right?
Mm-hmm.
You have all these different avenues you can go to. We're going to walk you through and mentor people on that because it's just that important.
Absolutely. And the dispositions on the back end, at least when you're getting started, that's a hell of an offer. I mean, I thought at first when I was getting these deals under contract, I thought finding the buyer would be the hardest part. But if you have a deal, it's usually not that hard, but it's still a lot of pressure for somebody that's new that they don't know what they're talking about or they don't know what they're doing, so to speak. I know when I talk to a lot of people interested in wholesaling, they're like, who do I sell the contract to? It's probably one. Right. I get that more than like, how do I find the deal? Which I think finding the deal is much more difficult. But that said, it alleviates a lot of the pressure that anybody listening right now that's interested in wholesale, it takes that burden off of them, which I know a lot of people have.
That's right. The disposition side is tough. We have a list of a million buyers nationwide. If you have builder in your name or LLC in your name and you're doing real estate transactions, we're hitting you up to buy our properties, right? So that's a huge advantage. I probably personally only have a list of about 12 or 13 people that I think I can get a deal to. And so that's a problem on the disposition side. It was a hurdle that I eliminated myself from before I partnered with Caymus. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could be a good problem. It's like my main buyer list is like 5. But yeah. I know what they want, where they're going. I know exactly what they need. It's a phone call away.
And they trust you because you've built that over time and you know they're legit buyers. There's an A, B, and C investor. A investors, every time that you approach them with a deal that you would do yourself, they're going to buy it, right? Like this is just the way it is. Bs might buy one or two a year. They're typically going to be the holding it for a rentals. And the Cs are just the window shoppers that say they want to invest but never get off the front porch. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, cool, man. But I love to ask this question, my favorite question. Buddy, if you had 100 lifetimes full of cash flow and $1 billion in the bank, what would you do with your money? Or what would you do with your time? What would you do with your money? What would you do with your money? What would you do with your
time? Yeah, I'm a little bit different because I'd probably give 75% of it away because I'd never spend it. If you ever read the Millionaire Next Door, that's probably more what I'm like. Like I drive the old 2015 Hyundai Tucson still. Yeah. All the guys at the office, literally two of them drive a G-Wagon. One drives a Porsche. The like one guy has a Lamborghini SUV and I pull up in the Tucson. They won't even let me park near them when we go places, but that's just who I am, man. I love to live below my means and I love to help people. And yeah, And so, but other than that, I'd probably live in Jamaica.
Yeah, I meant to say, what would you do with your time, not your money? I'm sorry.
Yeah, my time would be different. I'm meant to be, you know, and this is a little bit off topic, but so I'm very active in my church. I'm meant to mentor men. I do a lot of that through our church. And so these sort of programs where I get to now take that mentoring out to someone in a business world, I really love that. I love the interactions with people. And I know that's what I'm meant to be doing. So having a very clear purpose in that. And look, I even get to make money doing it. How great is that?
Absolutely, man. I love that. Well, cool, man. Anybody interested in what you're offering here? Like, what would be the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, I would say the best way, because of getting involved with us, you can go to CamusREI.com as the main site, but I would recommend people contact you directly to get them in the process, because you'll be able to actually help them as part of the mentoring process. And I think that's important, right? Having two or three really good mentors. And so I would recommend they contact you and you kind of get them walked through the system.
Love it, man. Well, cool, buddy. First off, I'd like to thank you for joining the show, giving us a glimpse into your life and into your business. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Man, I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Tim.
No problem. And then to those of you out there chasing freedom, freedom is accomplished one action at a time. So if you go out there, commit to just this one thing. Go find 50 houses every single week and find these people's contact information and just reach out to them and see if they have a problem you could solve. And if you just do that, I promise you, over a long enough time frame, you're going to be finding yourself in a much better position than where you are today. So go out there and take massive action and you'll have the results that you're looking for. Thank you.